Today I want to talk about a meal with Peter. A meal that Jesus had with Peter, and I'm taking that from John chapter 21, verse 15 through 25, or actually you can read the whole chapter there, John chapter 21. Just turn there and stay there, because that's where we're going to be. If you didn't bring a Bible, we'll go ahead and show it up there. Amen. But before I get to the meat of my message, I want to set the stage so that we know a little bit of the background, so I don't have to read scriptures and just read and read and read, but I do invite you to go and read the scriptures. This meal that Peter had with Jesus was at the Sea of Tiberias, who was a Roman general. Actually, he was an emperor, Tiberius was, but the sea had been named after him. And as far as that's concerned, I just want you to know it was named the Sea of Tiberias, because that's going to be important. And this was the third time that Jesus had been with his disciples, it says. But really what it means is it was the third time that he had been with the original 12 disciples. Because he had already been seen by Mary Magdalene and the women, and he had already walked on the road to Emmaus with two disciples, and had dinner with them, which we talked about last week. But now he'd actually come back that night, and he had his first meeting with 10 of the disciples. And that was in the upper room, the same place they got the Holy Ghost, Brother Gary. And then he come back and said, "Have you any meat? Want to know if there's any food left?" He'd already had dinner one time, but I'd like to point out that he's dead for 3 days, so he'd get a little hungry after 3 days. So he says, "Is there any meat?" And he showed him his hands and his feet and all that. And that was the first time many of them had got to see Jesus. The second time, he come back 8 days later when Thomas was there, because he was not at the original meeting. But Jesus come back just for Thomas. Just for Thomas, so that Thomas, amen, could believe. I want you to know the Lord wants you to believe today, and he'll go to any extent. He'll eat with you, amen. He'll play with you if he needs to, amen. He'll come with you. He'll return. If you're not here today, he'll come back next week. He wants you to know the truth. He wants you to believe. And he come back for Thomas. And Thomas was able to believe because he saw. But now we have the third time. Jesus appears and he eats a meal also with five of the apostles. This was the third time he had appeared to his disciples. So it wasn't all at one time. And it wasn't the first time he'd appeared to any disciple, but the disciples, which were the original 12. Now, Judas, we know, was dead by now, because he had betrayed Jesus and he went out and hung himself. And he had ate dinner here. This appearance of Jesus is to Peter and to Thomas and Nathaniel and James and John, five of them. And I want you to know, even though they all ate dinner with Jesus that day, I believe his purpose was to come to benefit Peter. That's why I'm calling it a meal with Peter, because, amen, the rest of them got the food, but Peter got the spiritual lesson that he was delivering that day, and I'm hoping to deliver that lesson to you today. Maybe there may be somebody here that needs this lesson, and this lesson is for you. But just because somebody else needs it doesn't mean that you ain't going to get nothing out of it either, because they all got to partake of the meal that day, and I want you to know you can all partake of the meal that I'm laying out here before you today, that the Lord preached to Peter as he ate with him. So this, I believe, is where Jesus not only ate with Peter, but he taught Peter how to fish again. How many of you know how to fish? All right. So let's begin in John chapter 21, verse 3. It says, Simon Peter says unto them, I go a-fishing. These are the five people he's talking about here. Happened to be out with them. I don't know what they were talking about, but Peter said, I'm going fishing. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. Notice how fast they go to fishing. Amen. Now, Brother Gary, I ain't preaching to you because you went fishing last week. All right. So, but amen, if the sheep fish, go ahead and wear them. But amen. That's not my intention today. I'm talking about, you know, what Peter learned there. But it says they entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now, I reminded, amen, of another time. When Jesus taught Peter how to fish. But I want to first of all kind of tell you why Jesus come to Peter. Why was he doing this? Why did he show up just for Peter? You know, I believe that Peter felt a little unworthy of his calling. I believe he felt like he was unfit for the calling that God had put on him. And I don't know about you, but there's been times I felt totally unfit for the ministry that God has given to me. But the Bible tells us that we need to walk worthy of our calling. The Apostle Paul admonished the church to always walk worthy of our calling. Ephesians 4:1, Colossians 1:10, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. See what happened. I guess you can say that, yeah, this was justified. These feelings that Peter had were justified. But let's look at it. Why did he feel unworthy? Well, first of all, we notice he had returned to his former life of fishing. Now, I know that Peter, when Jesus called him, the Bible said he left it all.
Amen.
And followed Jesus. Now we find that he's returning back to the former life. Sometimes we give up way too quickly. Sometimes when we get discouraged about our purpose in life and the things that God is calling us to do, and we go out and give it our best shot, and things don't work out as they should, we get tempted to throw in the towel and just go back to the way it was. I believe this is how Peter did it. The bad thing about it is, not only did he leave this life as calling of being in a church, but he had four others followed him out. And I've noticed that when people backslide in a church, they always seem to grab a hold of two or three others and take them with them.
Amen.
But that don't need to happen. That's why Jesus come. Jesus, the Bible says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If God called you, he ain't going to give up. He's going to go back to you again if he's got to personally come back to you and have a dinner with you. That's what he did. Peter, man, he was called to follow Jesus, to be one of his 12 disciples. And when he got a revelation from God, Jesus told him, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I want you to know, Peter was doing good. Amen. He had a great work. Amen. He was pleasing the Lord. God was revealing things to him. But Peter wasn't perfect.
No.
Neither is any man that would preach the gospel. Amen. Peter had denied Jesus three times, we know. He had wept bitterly after the cock crowed. He was really feeling down and out. He was slow to believe the gospel or the resurrection. When the women come down to tell him about it, the Bible said it was like an idle tale. Mary Magdalene had seen Jesus. Oh, actually, first they went down there and told him. They went up there and looked, him and John, and amen, they looked in and they saw the temple. Amen, it was empty. The tomb was empty. And he looked in, and Peter was looking in, just kind of trying to wonder about what was going on. John looked in and saw the grave clothes folded up, and the Bible says he believed at that moment. But he didn't say Peter, did he? And they left and went back to the upper room, and Mary Magdalene stayed behind, and while she was there, she began to cry and weep, and an angel appeared unto her. He said, "Why are you weeping?" Now this is what just any normal angel, because Mary thought this was the gardener.
That's right.
But it was Jesus. She didn't recognize him. "Why are you weeping?" "Well, if you've taken away my Lord's body, if you'll just tell me where you put him, I'll get some men and we'll bring him back." He told him who he was. And she called him Rabboni. Oh, glory to God. She fell down at his knees. She began to praise God. And Jesus told her to go and tell his disciples and tell Peter what she had saw. So she goes back and tells them again. And that's when it says it was like idle words. Peter has saw an empty tomb, the grave closed, the guards are gone, and hearing, amen, a woman that says she has seen Jesus alive, and it seemed like an idle tale. He was slow to believe. You know, if you think about his position, he probably didn't want to believe. Would have felt much better off having denied that he even knew Jesus. Had Jesus not been the Messiah, had Jesus not been who he said he was, but to find out that he was everything, amen, he claimed to be, that made his burden even heavier. It made his sorrow even greater. The reality of the resurrection made him feel even more unworthy of the ministry. How could he lead those that believed? That's why he returned to his old life. He heard the words of Christ, though, which made it even harder. Because Jesus, when there was a man that come, Jesus said, "Follow me." And he says, "I've got to go bury my father. Or just bid me to be excused so I can take care of this matter." And that's when Jesus says, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Peter heard these words right out of the mouth of Jesus. And he believed he was unfit. He was unworthy. Peter might as well. He was in his heart. He was saying, "God, he'll do better off without me." John is much more faithful, much more loyal than I am. I'm a failure. You know, sometimes we can get into that state where we just want to go back to the way it used to be. But you know, when Jesus changes your life, when he comes into your life, you will never be the same.
Yes, amen.
You can try to go back.
Come on,
you can
brother.
Try to forget.
Bless
you. You can do as the prophet said, I'll shut up his word in my heart, but it'll be like fire in your bones.
Yes, hallelujah.
You can't stay away. You can't get away. Jonah couldn't outrun God. He found him wherever he went.
Right.
He kept going down and down. But, amen, eventually, amen, God sent a big fish to get him out. And here again, amen, Jesus is going to use fish to bring another preacher back. Oh, glory to God. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
Amen.
Let's look at Peter's first call. See, Jesus went to Peter to call him back. But consider the similarities between when Peter was first called in Luke chapter 5. It's a lake. He was at a lake fishing. And it was called the Lake of Gennesaret. And now he's going back to recall Peter at the Sea of Tiberias in John 21. So there's a lot of similarities here, Joe. And I want to point out a few of them, because in one, it was his first calling, and Peter was a sinner prior to Jesus coming, just like we were.
Amen.
And as he left and followed Jesus, amen, now he's back again to the old life again, trying to fit in. Can't fit in. Amen. In both cases, they had fished all night and caught nothing. At the lake, Jesus told them to cast out into the deep, to push on out into the deep. And Peter said, we fished all night and we've caught nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it. And I want you to know the word of God. If you can learn to obey the word of God, you'll always follow Jesus.
Amen.
Nevertheless, at thy word, I cast out. And the Bible says the draught was so great that it broke our nets.
Uh-huh. Amen. Praise
but Lord. Here at the sea of Tiberias, we find that Jesus also comes to them while they're fishing, and they had fished all night and had caught nothing. And they found Jesus on the shore. They looked and they saw him, and he said, have you any meat, brother? They said, no, we've been fishing all night. We ain't got nothing. I'm telling you, by now, something ought to be ringing bells in old Peter. It did in John. John looked up and said, it's Jesus.
Come on.
And Peter immediately, the Bible said he was naked. And immediately, amen, he grabbed his coat and jumped in the water. What did he do at the lake? When he saw the fish and the miracle that Jesus had done, the Bible said he fell down at the knees of Jesus and said, I'm a sinner, depart from me. I'm unworthy. Here he's jumping into the water to keep from Jesus seeing him. Oh, he was so full of guilt and unworthiness. He had reached a low point in his life. Hey, man, he felt unworthy in both cases. And he wanted to, just like he did the first time, he wanted the presence of the Lord to depart from him. Here, he was ready to depart from the presence of the Lord. He jumped out of the boat.
Kind of like him.
Folks, when people are feeling unworthy, when they are burdened down with sin, when they are burdened down with guilt and shame. I want you to know the last thing the carnal man wants, amen, is a Holy Ghost service where God is moving among the people, because it's going to make you jump out of the boat. It'll make you get at the feet of Jesus. It'll make you come to Him and say, "Oh, depart from me. I'm all unworthy. Oh, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord." Oh, look at the state of him. He had merely returned from a state of glory to a state of unworthiness. But let's look at what Jesus told him at the lake when he first called him. Jesus reassured Peter. He said, "Fear not. Fear not." You want me to tell you what will hold more people of God back from doing God's will? Is fear. Fear of failure. Fear that they're unworthy. That's kept so many sinners out of church, Brother Gary. They say, "I'm too much of a sinner to come to church." I've even had atheists not want to come into church. I say, "What are you afraid of? If you don't believe there's a God, you shouldn't be afraid to come in." You see, people want to get out of God's presence when they know they ain't right. That's why they hit the door when the preaching starts. I tell you, me, God got me before the preaching started. He got me on the first song. So I believe you can get brought up. The Word of God in them songs will bring you up too. Amen. It'll put you in a conviction.
Amen.
He says, "Fear not. From henceforth," he said, "thou shalt catch men." Oh, you may be unworthy. You may feel like you're not able to achieve. You may feel too stupid to do this. You may feel, amen, that nobody even respects you or whatever. You may have been a failure in everything you did. But Jesus says, "Fear not. From henceforth, I'm going to change your life." That's what he says. You're not going to catch fish, you're going to catch men. Now, Luke didn't really get into the detail that Matthew and Mark did, because in the same place, Mark says, and he says unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Who's going to make them a fisher of men? Is Peter going to make himself a fisher? Amen? No. He says, "I will make you a fisher of men." In Mark 1 verse 17, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." You know, we're always, every one of us are in a state of becoming. Now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we see Him,
amen,
we shall be, amen, as He is.
Praise the Lord.
Now that's the Bible telling me. I may be unworthy of the blood of Jesus Christ. I may be unworthy of being called into the ministry. But God said, "I'm going to make you what I want you to be. All you got to do is do what I tell you to do."
Amen.
Amen.
You're not going to make yourself anything but a fool, an unbeliever. But see, Peter was doing it all in himself. He thought he was going to be the big honcho. He was going to do the work. Now, if you don't feel like, you know, hearing Peter downed like this, being one of the greatest men in the church, and the early church, I want you to know that they all had the same passions and the same temptations that you and I have. We think that these people walked on air. Now, Peter did walk on water, but he still failed God. He still backslid. He still returned to his former life. And you think the Bible says, amen. We need to, amen. Don't think that it's not going to happen to you because any of us could fail God.
Amen.
It could happen to any of us. What happened to Peter? That's why, amen, God has given this example to us as an example that we might learn from his mistakes and we don't have to make those same mistakes. Maybe Jesus may not have dinner with you. Maybe he may want you to hear it here. Amen. Are you feeling unfit? Now, I thought maybe Wednesday night, I try to tell people what we need to do in the church and what has to be done. Amen. What I believe the Lord is leading us to do. And sometimes we don't do it. And sometimes I feel like I've got to tell people. So I feel like I might be jumping on you. But sometimes the only way to tell somebody what they really got to do is, amen, try to break it. Put some sugar on it. Amen. Put sugar coat it if you need to, but you've got to get the word out. People's got to understand that they are, amen, falling short of the glory of God. We all fall short. But here's the thing. Peter became great because he was with Jesus and Jesus made him great. It wasn't Peter that did the making. I'm not a self-made man. I'm a Jesus-made man, okay? Y'all understand that? So if you're feeling unfit, don't flee from the presence of the Lord. Amen. The only big difference between Jesus' appearance at the lake and at the sea was that at the sea, Jesus ate with his disciples. That's what I want to get into. You must, amen, it must have been some good fish, amen, that they had. Because they caught 153, actually the Bible says they caught so many fish at the sea that they were not even able, the nets weren't breaking, but they were not able to pull it in, the five of them. And then Jesus said, bring what you got to me. Well, by the time they got to them, they only had 153 fish. That means a lot of them got away. Because they were not able in themselves to bring that harvest in. And neither are we. Neither are we, church. We're not able to reach this community by ourselves. We might get one or two here and there. But here's the lesson in this dinner with Peter. The Bible says as they began to come from the bank into Jesus, they noticed that there was coals on the fire. He had a fire built, and he had fish upon the coals, and he had, amen, bread to eat with it. I want you to know, even though he brought out the fish and they were able to catch something because of Jesus, Jesus had already prepared the meal. They didn't need to do nothing. Sometimes the Lord might let you pull on the net. Sometimes he might let you preach the message. But it's God that gives the increase. Glory to God.
Amen.
The meal was already waiting on him. Fish upon the fire. I'd like to point out that they didn't need to build a fire, Marilyn. Who's our fire builder? Jesus did it. They didn't need to clean the fish, Brother Gary. My old pastor says our job ain't to clean the fish, it's to catch them.
That's right.
Well, if they were eating the fish that they caught, they would have ended up having to clean them, wouldn't they? But in this case, Jesus had already cleaned the fish. And he had already had them ready to serve. This is a meal that Jesus just didn't have with Peter, but he showed him how to fish, and he showed him what God can do with a man that is unworthy. Oh, church, he uses the weak and beggarly things of the world to confound the wise. Don't feel that you're unworthy. Don't let your unworthiness and your feelings of being unfit keep you from working for God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Cast the net where he tells you to cast. He's telling us to cast it right down here in this neighborhood and around about here. Amen. I'm expecting God to come through and do the things that we were not able to do.
Amen.
But now those are lessons that we can see in here. But the lesson, the real lesson that Peter would learn was after dinner, not during dinner. So I said, it must have been good food. It's like my daddy, we used to eat. We'd get to talking at the table and he'd say, let your eating stop your mouth. A lot of people say you got to talk and say, no, you come to the table to eat. That's the way my daddy was. He didn't want no talking. Because normally, my wife says when she went to the table, all she heard was complaints from her daddy. The dinner table was a time when he was beating them up for all the things they did wrong. Let's look at the lesson that Jesus taught Peter after the dinner. Verse 15 of John chapter 21.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus.
So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. Now, folks, before you get caught up in the stockyard there, focusing on the lambs and the sheep, I want to cover the most obvious question that we have here. What was he talking about when he says, do you love me more than these? What is these? What is these? Amen. Let me read them. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now it says Peter was grieved because he said unto them the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. So Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. So let's focus on what is these. I'm talking about verse 15. What is these? Now, I heard preachers preach that he was talking about fish, and I've even preached on that too. One good thing about the Word of God is two things can be true about the Word of God, because it's like an onion skin. There's different layers. There's an actual literal, you know, context, and then there's spiritual context, and that has many different layers. It's like an onion. There's so many different, you can peel them off and get deeper or whatever. But is it the fish? I want you to notice Peter may have loved fishing, but I don't believe he loved fishing more than he loved Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I love fishing, but I don't love fishing more than I love Jesus. I love fish, but I don't love fish more than I love Jesus. I don't believe Peter for a minute loved fish or fishing more than he loved Jesus. I believe he just felt unworthy because he had failed Jesus. Jesus is going to get to the point of his problem. Now, I know that some people do love things in this world more than they love Jesus. The Bible says some people will love, amen, pleasure more than God. There are people that will forsake Jesus for a woman or a man. There are people that will turn their back on God for gold and things in this world. So it certainly applies to some people. Some people do love fish more than they love Jesus. But not Peter. And I don't believe his brother Gary either, brother. Just make sure you understand. I love fish. And you know I love fish. An okra and thing. We're talking about eating him. I'll let you get hungry and then you can go out and eat supper here. No, I believe that Peter. See, first of all, he says, thou knowest that I love you. Do you know that Jesus knew that Peter loved him? But he asked, do you love me more than these? These, I believe, is he's talking about the disciples, these other four disciples they were eating with. Do you love me more than these? Now, he's not asking the question. He's not saying you shouldn't love your brothers. What Peter thought was that he was better than his other brothers. He thought he loved Jesus more than John. He thought he loved Jesus more than Thomas. He thought he was better than all the others. Now that's a state that we can get into in the church. I've seen it. I've seen it destroy churches. People get into competition. And I believe it. Amen. They're a better singer than such and such. They're a better preacher than such and such. It's so easy for us to judge others, but so hard to see our own shortcomings. You know, Peter was feeling a little unworthy, but Jesus is going to make him feel a little bit more unworthy. He said, you don't love me more than these other disciples. More than these. Sometimes, you know, I think the Bible says it's unwise to compare ourselves with others. When you compare yourself with man, he is just like you. He is unworthy. It's like comparing two bad examples, man. Which one's worse? Well, we've actually did that. Well, he's worse than I am, or she's worse than me. Well, you're both worse. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. We all fail God. Don't you ever get it in your mind that you're better than somebody else. I don't care how much of a preacher you are. You're not better. This is what Jesus is trying to teach you. Now, pride was really Peter's problem. You know, before I move on, I got to explain what pride is. Got to understand it a little bit better. We need to understand what pride is. Romans 12:3 tells us, it says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Think soberly, not more highly than you ought to. Now, this is his problem. Pride is when you have an incorrect image of yourself. You think you're the best singer, you think you're the best preacher, you think you're the whatever. And I tell you what, when you get into places where you get into a position where you think that, how wrong you are. He's going to humble you. And you're going to feel a little unworthy. Thou knowest, Lord. See, the Bible says that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before it fall. Peter's pride led to his denial. You know, he said, thou knowest. Let me tell you a few more things that Jesus knew. Jesus knew that Peter didn't love him more than the others. He knew that. He knew that Peter loved him. But Peter thought he loved better. He was a better lover, a greater lover.
Come on.
Jesus told Peter, he says, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. He says, but when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. You know what he's saying? I pray that you wouldn't just totally get blown away by this, but I want you to learn the lesson here that pride has entered your life. You might have got skilled. You may have been nothing in the beginning, but over the process of time, your successes has led you to believe that you are some great one. That's very easy for preachers to do. Make you think that, well, yeah, I've got more preachers, and I got more saints than you got, so on and so on. And your unworthiness is there too. If you feel that you're less than what you should be, that's just as wrong as feeling that you're more than what you should be. And I don't know how many times I've taken my other brothers that I know and say, oh, they've got more than I do, more people. Oh, I wish they were more faithful as those people are. I wish they could do this like these do. You see, God will show you where your true source of greatness comes from. It don't come within here. It comes from up there. Amen? Peter denied Jesus three times. But before he denied Jesus three times, he denied what Jesus told him. Now Jesus told him, the devil's asked to sift you as wheat. When you're converted, strengthen the brethren. But Peter said, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. I'm ready to die for you, Lord. He claimed that all the other disciples would be offended, but not him. Not me, Lord. They'll all fail you, but not me. I'm going to stick with you to the end. Even after Jesus rebuked him, Peter turned around and rebuked Jesus. He said, you would die for me? You believe you could die for me? Yeah. He said, you'll deny me three times before the cock crows. What did Peter say to that? Mark said he spake more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise, also said they all. They all were thinking they were better. That's the biggest problem churches have. They get in this attitude that they think they're better than everybody else up there. This dinner, I want you to know that Jesus had with Peter was was the beginning of his conversion. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Jesus wasn't going to let Peter backslide. He's going to convert him. And he shows up to have dinner with him. Peter would discover his own weakness and his own pride. You know, Peter, it grieved Peter that Jesus asked him 3 times if he loved him. Do you know how many times Peter denied Jesus? 3 times. All these similarities, they're not there by chance. This whole meal and this lesson would follow Peter to Pentecost and bring him into the upper room. He wasn't ready to serve God, but he knew where he might find the power from on high. He would go and wait and tarry for the promise of the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus said, amen, tarry here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Then you're going to be my witnesses. You're not going to deny me. I'm going to make you one of the greatest fishermen of men the world has ever known. But it will come from Jesus. It will be the Holy Ghost. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. You know, Peter would eventually, do exactly what he said. He would lay down his life for Jesus. And we find that in verse 18. He says, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whithersoever thou wouldest. But when thou be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Peter got up, began to follow Jesus, and they began to walk off. But Peter turned around and he saw John following. The Bible said it was the disciple that Jesus loved. It was the disciple that laid his head upon the breast of Jesus during the Last Supper. It was the one that said, when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, it was John that said, who, which one of us? And he put himself in there. Because he knew that any one of them could have been the Judas. But it was Peter that thought, oh no, they'll all deny you but not me. And Peter turned to Jesus and said, what about him? What's going to happen to him? Now here's where we get into it, folks. Then Peter turned back, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, said, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall be? What shall this man do? What shall become of him? Now here's the answer that we all need to understand. Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You know what he's saying? He's trying to tell us that it's not about who's the best. It's not about who's the worst. What we need to be concerned about is not others, how they're doing, so much as we need to be concerned about how we are doing with God. That doesn't mean that God is telling us that we should not be concerned when somebody falls, because the Bible says when one of you see a brother or somebody overtaken in a fault, amen, you should go restore him, amen? But not kick him while he's down either. But it means quit worrying about everybody else and serve God yourself. When you can get everybody else out of the mind, then you can feed his sheep. Then you can feed his lambs. Then you can serve God the way you're supposed to. But we're too busy comparing ourselves by ourselves. It's not about how you stack up or measure up against others. It's not about whether you're the best guitar player, Joe. It's about whether you're the best you can be to Jesus. Not whether you compare. It's not about whether you're the best singer. It's about whether you give God what you got. Follow him. If he wants you to be the best, he'll make you the best. If we've got the right attitude, amen, he'll let the fish spit us out on the shores of Nineveh, and we'll preach the message that will convert a whole nation.
Amen.
But we got to overcome our fear of failure. Quit depending on ourselves and start depending on Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Recognize your own weaknesses. Bear the infirmities of the weak, though, and feed his sheep. Amen. So I think Peter found out when Peter did deny Jesus and all that, he went through all this. Peter did eventually die for preaching the gospel. Now, the Bible doesn't say it, but tradition has it that when they were going to crucify Peter, he still felt a little unworthy. And he said, I'm not worthy to die the same death that my Lord died. But he said, I basically consider it an honor to be crucified like Christ. But he said, crucify me upside down. And they did. They stretched forth his hand, just like Jesus said, and they led him to the place he would not have went on his own. Just like Jesus was led. But Jesus knew where he was going, and he could have called 10,000 angels to stop what was going on. But he didn't do it. He knew his destiny was to die for you and me.
Thank you.
Now, I don't know any greater than that. Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. This was a meal with Peter. And if we can learn that lesson, I think we can have a great church, don't you? And we learn that lesson when we minister to the lost and those who are in sin. We don't come across like we're better or they're beneath us. We let the love of God show. And we bring them into a fellowship. Amen. Of the love feast of Christ. And into the communion of the holy brethren. Let's stand before the Lord.